his children, for them to pass, oh, through the sea. He'll open up prison doors and set the captives free. So look up, saints, and praise his name. He'll make a way for me. For his children, for them to pass, all through the sea. He'll open up prison doors, oh, and set the captives free. So look up, saints, and praise his name. He'll make a way for thee. He'll make a way, yes, for his children, for them to pass. Doors and set the captives free. So look up, saints, and praise his name. He'll make a way for thee. He'll make a way, yes, for his children, for them to pass through the sea. Yes, he'll open up prison doors and set the captives free. So look up, saints, and praise his name. He'll make a way for thee. He'll make a way for his children, for them to pass all through the sea. He'll open up prison doors, oh, and set the captives free. So look up, saints, yes, praise his name. He'll make a way for thee. For his children, for them to pass through the sea. Yes, he'll open up prison doors, oh, and set the captives free. So look up, saints, and praise his name. He'll make a way for thee. He'll make a way for his children, for them to pass through the sea. Yes, he'll open up prison doors, oh, and set the captives free. Oh, so look up, saints, and praise his name. He'll make a way for thee. He'll make a way for his children, for them to pass through the sea. Oh, yes, he'll open up prison doors and set the captives free. Yes, so look up, saints, and praise his name. He'll make a way for thee. He'll make a way for his children, for them to pass through the sea. Yes, he'll open up prison doors and set the captives free. So look up, saints, and praise his name. He'll make a way for thee. He'll make a way
for his children, for them to pass through the sea.
Yes, he'll open up prison doors, yes, and set the captives free. So look up, saints, and praise his name. He'll make a way for thee. For his children, for them to pass through the sea. He'll open up prison doors and set the captives free. So look up, saints, and praise his name. He'll make a way for thee.
We're moving on in Jesus' name. We're moving on, got a crown to gain. We're trusting God, not fearing man.
trusting God, not fearing man. We're moving on to the promised land. Oh, we're moving on in Jesus' name. We're moving on. Got a crown to gain. Oh, we're trusting God, not fearing man. In Jesus' name, we're moving on.
been taught, if you, you know, one don't just keep setting, do something, you know. So I wasn't here today to hear Brother Smith's message, but the song Sister Cindy was singing about, we're moving on in Jesus' name. And I hope and I pray that's what I'm doing. That Brother Wayne told me that Brother Smith was talking about today, that we didn't want to stay within ourselves, but, you know, go move on and not just stay in one spot, but and not to be bound by the spirit of this world. And that's what we can do. We can be bound in our own spirits, not necessarily the spirit of the world, but in our own spirits. And I don't want to do that. I want to move on in Jesus. I want to not just stay in one spot, but to continue on, because this is a continuing process. It's not just a one-day experience, a one-time experience, but it's a continuing experience. We've got to go on, move on, not stay where we're at. As the song said, there were Moses led the children for 40 years, and we can be, we've been taught that we can stay in one spot for 40 years. We go around and around the same mountain, and we'll not go any further until we become overcomers of that spot. God will lead us through those areas in our lives, and we'll just let Him and give Him honor and lift Him up and glorify Him, because He wants our praise. Not that He needs it, but we need to give Him the honor, because without Him we cannot do anything. We could just be another person that's just left here on this earth to live and die, and that's it. But oh God, He's gave us the opportunity to do something much different than that. We have the opportunity to serve God. Oh, hallelujah. When I stop and think of what my life would be like without Him, oh God, where would I be and what would I do if God no longer lived in my life? Oh, hallelujah. I want Him to be reigning in my life, not just to be a part there, just a little part. I want Him to take full control. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I want to be found serving God every day of my life.
But I certainly want to give the Lord praise for what He's been doing for me lately and giving me the strength. And I've been really trying to put more of God in my life and godly things and keep my mind girded on the Lord. And I have found out that the Lord is showing me so many things, and He's truly blessing me. And this morning when I got up, I got a really good touch before I went to bed last night. And when I woke up this morning, I woke up really early this morning, and I was singing the very first song that we sang here in the service today. And it was just like the Lord flashed it in my mind. And when Brother Smith said, let's just praise Him, it was all I could do. I mean, the Lord, it felt like electricity running through my hands this morning in the service. And it just felt so good. And I thought, Lord, thank You. Thank You so much for bringing me back, for keeping Your hand on me and bringing me back. And I just have a desire, and I'm praying for a deeper desire for godly things in my life and for a stronger walk this time with the Lord. And Brother Smith, I went home and I put that 2 Peter 5-11 on my fridge that very night. And I've got that, and I read it every time I go to the refrigerator, and I'm trying to apply those things in my life. And because I'm determined this time not to fall. And I know you guys have all been praying for me, and I feel it every day. And like I said, I'm trying to keep my mind girded up on godly things. And I certainly desire your prayers, and my son. And I'm thankful to have my sisters here and tonight. And you guys just keep me in your prayers, and I'm thankful to be here.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah to God.
Get up and thank the church, you know, probably for praying for me a couple of weeks ago when I lost my brother. That was kind of a shock, you know. He wasn't real ill or anything. And it was hard. It was really hard for my mom. So if y'all can remember her in your prayers, that's her second child, and she's lost at such a young age. And this brother was really kind of close to her heart because he just treated her so sweet. And all she could think about is how kind and sweet he was. And his smile, when he meets someone, he never met a stranger. And when he talked to him, it's always about the Lord. And he had a ministry reaching out for addicts. And his church, they started a ministry, and it was awesome. Because when we went to family hour, I just couldn't imagine how many lives he had touched. They got up and talked about how he was always patient with them and love and kind and pick them up, give them money, bring them food. Just anything you asked, he would always be there for you. So that was kind of hard. So I learned a little bit more about him in his ministry. I knew he was in that ministry because that's his testimony. We all kind of got saved around about the same time, I think, in our young age. And he was delivered. I mean, truly delivered from that lifestyle. You know, he was very smart, but he just got hold to the wrong thing in his early 20s. But when God got a hold to him, he was a living testimony. I'm going to miss my brother. He's one of those preachers that you had to have a dictionary. Never know what that word means. But in the contents, I knew it still mean you love God, you obey God. God is. You know, he was an awesome husband and father. I'm going to miss him. And my mom really is having a hard time. But someone texts me one day, you know, thinking about me. And, you know, we praying and keeping God close to our heart. And that text, when all they said to me, I'm thinking about you, and God's grace is sufficient. And it's like something just touched my heart and say, God, I'm going to stand on that. Because everything we go through life in our trials and tests, his grace is sufficient. He has brought us through many, many things, and I know it's through his grace. There's nothing I've done. And when I made my mind up to do that, you know, I tried to express that to my mom, but I know you got to get to a certain place in your heart with God to deal with grief. And I just said, God, you are good. And you know all things. And what I know about my brother, he loved you. He was praying that night before he went to the hospital. So he was talking to you. So this is what happened. It was your will. And so I'm going to have to learn to deal with this. And when I came to that thought in my mind, something just embraced me. If you never felt that, that's let you know God is real. He is real. That burden of that pain, the Holy Ghost came in and comforted me. And when I talked to somebody at work, they said, well, you're talking like you're all right. And I said, well, God is all right. He's with me. He's with me. He let me know he's with me through all things.
And so I went start thinking about a lot of things in my life. And I know y'all know a lot of things I've been going through. And I said, God, okay, I'm believing it. And you said that today again, Brother Smith. I'm going to believe in the victory. He's working on it right now, even as I speak. I believe that. But it took me some seeking, trusting God, arguing back and forth. You know, my natural eyes seeing this, and I'm thinking this. Not no more. God is too good. He's real. And he loves me, and he cares about me. So he's going to take care of all my needs. No matter what I go through, he deserves all the praise. Every day. He's going to give me the victory, whether it's today, tomorrow, way down the line. Even on the other side, Brother Smith, when you was talking about the resurrection, I might not see it here, but I got to believe that he says he's going to take care of me. I believe it. Today, when you was talking about that, I'm like, my God, you have put me in a heavenly place. And what am I and who am I to whine or complain about my trials and tests? Because you always come out on top with God. So when I go through the valley, as that song was today, I think we sung something like, restore my soul in the valley. There is where peace is in the valley, isn't it? So I know what that peace feels like now after going through that, my brother's death, and thinking about my daughter. I think y'all know who I'm talking about. But my God knows all things. He brought me through my breast cancer treatment. He healed me, and he was there with me then, and he's with me now. He's just a good God, and I'm not the brat child that was raised up in this, but I probably do whine. But he brought me out of the miry clay, out of the world, and now he's bringing me out of the things that I need to die in daily, and sometimes it might take more than a day or two, maybe a couple of years, I don't know, 40 years, I hope. But through all of that, I still have joy knowing that my God is real. And he put me in a place under ministry to hear what I heard today. I went one that Sunday after the service with my sister-in-law, and please keep remembering her in your prayers, you know. Oh, she's a sweetie too. She loved the Lord. She's full of the Holy Ghost, and what do we pray? She's a praying sister. And I went to a service with her, and when I left church the first time, that's where I went back to this church with my brother. And it's a Baptist church. That's where I come from. And as Brother TJ said today, and I said, yeah, they did. They handed out me a program. And not only did they hand me out the program, I kept watching the clock, and they was right on time with that program. Oh, well, he preached that 20-minute message. We did a lot of worshiping and praising God for a long time, and then he came out and preached his 20-minute message, and at 1:30 we was out of there. I said, okay, all right. They cut the worshiping service off. I said, if they keep on going, we'll probably can get some folks saved around here. But, you know, I didn't want to criticize. I want to love them because they love the Lord. They love the Lord. And I kept saying, well, God, oh, you have to get hungry to really seek you, don't we? We have to get hungry to really want the truth. And so I'm going to pray for my sister-in-law like I was praying for my brother. There is more of God than where you are in your walk with God. And they keep wondering how come I'm in such a different place, a strange place. I'm not in the Baptist church. But he came to church with me one time And he did mention to me, he said, I know why you there, because the glory of the Lord is all over that place. And I said, yeah, it was. But he just couldn't understand. He didn't want any more of it. He just knew that that was for me. It was just for me. You know, and so I'm going to have to be that, as we sing the light. So I'm going to have to be that light that don't hide behind the bushel, because I'm the only one in this way. And so when they do come out, maybe they will have something to say to me. I don't know, ask me some questions, but I'm asking the Lord to let my light shine a little bit more. And I'm not perfect every day, but I do talk about the Lord every day. I think about him. I wake up praising him. You think about him all day, and you ask him to walk with you, because, you know, I'm not going to make good decisions. I hope I make better decisions, but if I don't make a decision and don't include God, I'm already on the wrong track, you know. So I'm just so thankful for where I'm at. I can't express that enough, Brother Smith. After that message today, and how, you know, and say, and you, and I think in there you keep saying, we got to get closer to Jesus. You just got to keep getting closer to Jesus. Well, I believe seems like that's a big job. I know, line up on line, precept on precept to keep getting closer to Jesus. But to keep trusting him, that's the key. That's the key. I had to keep trusting him. And the more I trust him, the closer he can get into my heart. So I'm thankful for being here today. And I'm Sister Brenda.
I appreciate the message I heard today. It's exactly what I needed, as everyone else. And I just wanted to stand and give God praise and glory for everything he's doing. And I love how he works. And I'm glad he brought me in too. And I thank him for saving me. I just want to give God glory and praise. I just love the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
One of my relatives died last Saturday, Davey, and a lot of people were shocked about it. Everyone, we were nervous about, you know, what happened to him. He died in a car accident with a few other people, and a lot of people are real shocked and upset, and I was just wanting to pray for him, and yeah. I'm not really a person that would speak out in public, so I'm kind of nervous, but anyways, I never really knew him that well, but still, he's my relative. I want to talk about him. I don't really know anything about him, but I think I've seen him one or two times. My grandma, Ann, she's told me that he died last Saturday, and that kind of got me a little worried. She told me that a few of her friends died with him, so... Yeah, I'm wanting to pray for them and him too, and his mom and dad and my dad.
All right. Let's say a prayer for that family right here for him. Dear God, Father, Lord, you know this situation, Lord, this need and the loss of this family. God, comfort them, dear Lord. Use that, oh God, for your glory and to reach out and touch others in that family, Lord God. Work your will and comfort in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen.
I just wanted to get up and thank the church for praying for me. I've been sick all week, and Sister Linda said she'd request prayer for me on Wednesday. And so Thursday morning I got up and I felt so much better. I couldn't even speak. So I want to thank y'all for praying for me. And that message, Brother Smith, you know, said whatever we're going through, you know, that Jesus will see you through and that he's in it. And it seems like I've had so many trials about my health. And I hate to say it, but I've really been in the valley. And I didn't know really what was going on. But that helped me. Brother Smith said that, you know, whatever you're going through. And, you know, I don't get out in the world where others have a lot of tests and trials. You know, I don't work out in the world. I don't get out much. But it came to me, you know, that we have to have trials. And so most of mine is my health and my family, because they're, you know, they're not serving the Lord. So I just want to thank y'all for your prayers, and it really keeps me going. And your prayers to the Lord, you touch the Lord for me. So I just want to thank you, and thank you for your words, Brother Smith.
Try. I may squeak out a note here. I don't know. Allergies.
Shackle my heavy burden. Need a loath of guilt and shame. Then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed its Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise Him, and I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me, oh, He touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Every time that I have needed just a touch upon my soul, oh, Jesus has been there to meet me when I gave to Him full control. He touched me, oh, He touched me. That floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Every time that I have needed just a touch upon my soul, Jesus has been there to meet me when I gave to Him full control. He touched me, oh, He touched me. Oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know. Let me tell you that He can't touch you. I know that He can't touch you. And oh, the joy that floods your soul. Well, something can happen, and then because He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, have needed just a touch upon my soul. Oh, my Jesus has been there to meet me. gave to him full control. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened. Touch upon my soul. Jesus has been there to meet me when I gave to him full control. He touched me. My soul, well, something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Thank you. touch me and make me
this morning I was talking about God having a way to touch people's lives, because he has to have an avenue, a way to reach you. You know, the Lord could, he can do that if he so desired. The Lord could, you know, deal and make himself real to a stranger on a, you know, far country. But he couldn't establish someone like that. You have to understand how God works. He works through people. The purpose of this whole plan of God is to save mankind. And so, for the Lord to be able to really help a person, that's why he gave a ministry and set up an order in the church. And the Lord reaches out and touches people's lives. Generally, you have to have someone that's connected to you that knows something about God, that can, the influence of God in their life will touch you. And God will take that and he'll begin to work with that. And he'll begin to let you feel him and see and realize what he's doing in someone else's life, and that it'll cause a hunger in you, because anytime you feel the genuine Spirit of God, he's the creator. And when you feel the Spirit of your creator, your soul will, you can't help but respond to it or know that you felt it. And that's how God starts out, working in people's hearts. But his purpose is to draw you to a place that you recognize your need for him. I tell you, man is in such a fallen condition. If you go back to the garden and see the fall, and then see how far man has drifted from God, the Lord, for the Lord to help begin the process of reconciliation, to reconcile you back to God's purpose, his purpose in the creation. God, he had a great purpose. He still has a great purpose. In having an everlasting family. And and bringing us into that. Now, in God's plan and in his purpose, there's going to be people lost. God knows that. It's not his will, the Bible said, that any should perish. But there's going to be loss. But God's not in this for the loss. He's in this for those that he can save. And God, his purpose is to call a person to a place that they recognize their need and they reach a place of repentance. And there's steps in God that's absolutely necessary. One is being baptized in water under repentance. That's those two things go together. You repent of your sins and you're baptized in water. Brother Ethan and Brother Nethaniah, they're wanting me to get them baptized in water. I told them, I said, well, all right, hold on. I said, we're gonna get the baptistry full of water here for long, and we'll get y'all in one of the baptisms. Brother Shane wants to be baptized. You know, Brother Angelo said one time, he said, you know, somebody asked him to be baptized 2 or 3 times. They said, why won't you hurry up and get this done? He said, well, if that's all you needed to finish you up, I'd get it done tonight. But those are necessary steps to repent and be baptized and then receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, to be born of God's Spirit. And that's the beginning. That's your starting out with God. There's been several people that, you know, they hadn't been taught the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So there are people that have repented, and they've repented and they've been baptized, but they hadn't received the Holy Ghost. They'll have to hear about that. They need to know that. That's an essential thing. But there's others that's received the Holy Ghost and it hasn't, because they didn't really know what they had. But you know, you can be so ingrained and so bound down in sin that you can't, just because you repent and are baptized in water, it doesn't mean that you get free. And to get really free from this sin nature, it takes getting committed. That's what really water baptism publicly was intended for. God wanted a commitment to publicly let all your ungodly friends and family and everything you're connected with in the ungodly world know that I have made a decision to serve God. And I think most people that come to God earnestly, you know, and sincere in their heart, that's their intentions. But some people are weak. They're too weak to stay committed. And that's why sometimes you have to pray for deliverance. But also people sometimes don't realize the need to stay faithful in church and get an understanding of the Word of God well enough to be established. You can be uncommitted. You can be indecisive. That's a good word. It's one of the words Brother Wright gave us at the meeting, indecisive. In other words, you can't stick with a decision. You can't stay committed. Unstable is another word that goes with that. But if you'll stay, when you get, I might as well get up in there for a minute. I thought I'd just say a couple words, but when you get. When you first come to the Lord, sometimes it takes a while for God, for you to get settled in the things of God. You can't just turn your back and walk away from everything you're connected to. It takes time, generally, for God to help you get disconnected from all the ungodliness that you've been connected to. You can try to turn your back on it, but then, you know, you leave church, you go home, and there you are. There you are with the same connections, the same family, the same job that you had, the same people that you've been in the same rut with. But God's intent was and is for you to get enough of God and enough of touch of God in your life that you can look all of that in the face and say, I've changed. I'm not going this way anymore. I've been saved. I've gave my heart to God and I'm going to serve Him. Generally, when a person makes that strong of a commitment, they generally affect others that they're around. That's their connection. That's part of the connection that God will use to help others. Almost every time someone genuinely gets really saved and gets their the touch of God that they need to pull them out of the life of sin, it'll pull somebody out with them. You just watch it. Almost every time someone really gets a good dose of salvation, somebody that they're connected to will get touched by that. And it'll affect them. And God uses that way. But there is a process that you have to go through. Sister Donna was talking about 1 Peter 2, 5 through 11 that she's got on her refrigerator. It says, add to your faith virtue. That word virtue means strength. It means to add the strength of obedience of what the Word of God says, and that is being baptized in water and being sanctified from sin, to make a decision to go the way of God, learn His Word and obey it. And then add to virtue knowledge. You've got to get more knowledge of this to really begin to understand the things of God and to really get the faith I was talking about this morning, for you to have to stand and go through life and have the proper faith that you'll need to really overcome the things of this world and what God's called you to. It'll take more knowledge than what you start out with. You'll have to learn more of God. God's too big for you to get it in one altar call setting. His plan's too great. It's too large. It's got too much involvement in it for you to just get it in just a message or a touch of the Holy Ghost. But you'll have to apply yourself. You'll have to learn how to pray. You know, a lot of people don't know how to pray. This young man came up here today to get prayed for. Well, I told him how to pray. I said, ask God to forgive you for your sins. Tell Him that you need Him. Tell Him you recognize that you need Him in your life and you need His touch on your life and that you need to be born of His Spirit. Begin to tell God those things. And the Lord already knows it, but He needs you to speak it out so that you get that in your mind and it becomes a part of your mindset. And it builds faith. And you begin to cry out to God and God begins to touch you in your cry. Like the psalmist said, this man cried unto the Lord and He heard me. Well, that's why God set up the local church, and the ministry was for you to get to be a part of it and get committed and get in and grow. You can't grow just coming to church once in a while. Just hear a little, you know, once in a while. Every Easter I go to church, or every Christmas or whatever. But it takes a commitment. It's a change of life. It becomes your walk in life and your way in life. And of course, you can see that, you know, and those of us that are here, no matter when we have church, you come, here we are. And Brother D'Angelo told me downstairs after dinner, he said, I heard the correction this morning. He said, we'll be here Wednesday night. I said, well, thank God you've got ears to hear. And he said, yeah, we're hearing. I started to say, well, what about tonight? But I thought, well, I better just cut this dog's tail off just a little at a time, you know. But
The Lord is, you young people, you need to realize that you're here, and you're not just here, but you're here because you're highly blessed of God. And he's, I mean, God don't have to look you up. Did you all realize that? God don't have to find you out in the world and find some way to connect you to his kingdom. You're blessed enough to just to be a natural heir. You was born in here. And, you know, little Jew babies were that way. They was born Jews. They did have to be circumcised. The boys had to be circumcised on the eighth day. You do have to, you may be born in this, but you're going to